Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, all right. Good morning. Why don't you go ahead and grab a seat? I want to just thank you all for being here. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Yes! Thank you. Hey, right at the top, want to kind of let you guys in on something. I know some of you may already know. My father has been battling with cancer the last few months, and he actually passed away on Friday. And I know your next question is, what are you doing on stage? It's a very valid question. I'm up here because, honestly, this is where I want to be. And this is where I think God wants me to be. You don't know this, but I write my sermons weeks in advance. I don't write week of, because that would give me a panic attack. And so I get them done early. And a few weeks ago, I actually wrote the sermon that I'm gonna share with you. I'm gonna teach today. And part of that teaching, part of that sermon, involved my dad. It involved kind of a discussion of his situation, and I just believe that God is good and that God is sovereign, and he knew when I was writing that what was going to happen today, and I didn't. And I love you guys, and I want to be here. I want to be a part of this. I'm really excited about what God wants to teach, and so I'm here. A couple disclaimers. Please do not mistake me being here for me being okay. I just want to be clear about that. The last thing I want is for this to be misconstrued as, hey, man, you should be perfectly okay and go back to work 2 days after something horrible happens. That is not what's happening. I am operating on shock and adrenaline right now. And so I'm going to make a few changes today, and I hope you're cool with that. I'm going to sit, which I never do, but I'm going to sit today. I'm actually going to use notes, which is also something I never do. But if I don't use notes, we might be here for 2 hours. And so trust me, you want me to use notes. But I'm pumped to be here. And if you're a guest today, man, I'm really glad you're here. And I'm really pumped about what God's been teaching me through this process and what I believe he can teach you today, you know, about storms, about difficult times. And again, before I pray, I want you to please hear me. In no way is me up here saying I'm over the hump. Like, I haven't even begun the process of going up the hump, up the hill. That's not what this is. This is just purely a in-process message that I believe God is going to use. He already has first hour to really help us all when we go through difficult moments. So that's what we're going to do. Let me pray for us, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and God, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather, the opportunity to learn about your son, and for that to truly impact our lives. So we just ask your Holy Spirit to fill this place, speak to us and through us. So your sons, let me pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So question that is pretty understated, I guess, today. How many of you ever have days where, like, halfway through the day, you're just looking for the reset button? Like, everything falls apart, and you're just like, you know what? If I could, let's just restart today. Can we just reset today? Like, any of you play, if you're my age or a little older, a little younger, maybe you played Nintendo growing up, like the original Nintendo, and if things were going bad, you just accidentally hit the reset button? You were like, oops, I didn't mean to do that, but you just got to start over, and I had one of those days exactly 4 weeks ago today. It was 4 weeks ago on a Sunday. And, man, I had a day where I wanted to hit the reset button. But let me kind of bring you into some context. The last 18 months, I think we'd all agree, we'd reset all of it if we could. And you probably never thought about it this way, but guys in my line of work, the last 18 months haven't been super easy to navigate COVID, because I don't know if you've noticed, but we host a mass gathering every week. And I don't know if you know this, people are real opinionated about COVID. They have lots of strong views, and they have no room for anyone else's view on the subject, which makes it real fun to do what I do. And so just overall, man, the last 18 months, they've just not been super, super easy, super fun, super draining. In addition to that, some of you know, you may not, my wife, Danielle, amazing, amazing lady, has had some health issues, particularly with her thyroid for the last few years. And those issues are pretty draining for her and her energy. And the way she handles them is like she just runs until she collapses, which happens about once every other month. And so about once every other month, there'll be a couple days where she just can't get out of bed because she's that tired. And the boys and I are like, yep, mom's tired again. And, you know, we just kind of move on. So we've been navigating that. And then, you know, my dad has had cancer now for years and had been handling it pretty well. And then back in May... is when we discovered that the cancer had metastasized to his brain. And so he had brain surgery, the tumor's removed, you know, and so that's just kind of been a part of this summer as well. And so 4 weeks ago, everything converged, all right? So in addition to Danielle's normal health issues, she had some abscessed teeth. That we had she had surgery, didn't work, had to have a second surgery because why not? And so she had surgery on Friday. 4 weeks ago was the Sunday. The Friday previously, she had surgery. And on this part of her jaw, she was super swollen. But Sunday morning, she gets up, and she's like, hey, I want to come to church with you. Really, it was more like, I want to come to church with you. She was real swollen. But she knows, I love to see her right there. Like, it makes me happy, and she's awesome. And so she's like, I'm going to go. And I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, I'm going to go. And so we start getting ready. She comes back in the room about 10 minutes later. She's like, well, I was going to go. Now I'm not. Why? Jacob has a fever. Now, Jacob is our youngest child. He is 11. He is not old enough to be vaccinated. My wife and I have been. My older two are. Jacob was not vaccinated. So the second he had a fever, he looked at us and said, oh, yeah. And three kids in my class were sent home with COVID on Friday. We were like, fantastic. And so this is Sunday morning. I'm trying to get ready to preach, but now Danielle can't come. We think Jacob might have COVID. I know the rules. I am fully vaccinated, but I was going to wear a mask. I was going to stay in my office, walk out, teach, go back to my office, leave, not be around anybody else. I'm a good citizen. And so I still came to church, was getting ready to teach, taught the first hour, think we're okay. Between services, I'm walking in the office, and I see some of my staff, some of the team, talking to each other. And when I walk up, they stop talking. Raise your hand if you know, that's not a good sign. That's not good. And so they stop talking. I'm like, guys, what's up? And they're like, well, we weren't sure if we were going to tell you or not. And I was like, well, you got to tell me now. And they said, well, we just had somebody let us know that your father was found unconscious at his house. And he has been rushed to the emergency room. Okay. And I had another service to preach. And so, got myself right, came out here to teach. And some of you might have even been here that week. It was the week that the microphone went out and stayed out. Yeah, you were here. I said for like 5 minutes. Like, it was so out. Like, that's how bad it was. And guys, I'll be honest with you, it's silly that a microphone was the tipping point, but I walked off that stage, and, man, I went back to the office, and I was like, okay, I'm done. That's it. Like, I don't want to do any more today. This has got to be it. And I had this thought. I literally was like, Jesus, dude, do you see what's going on right now? Like, you see all this, right? You knew this was coming. You see what I'm going through. Where are you? Why aren't you helping me out right now? That's how I felt 4 weeks ago today. And I tell you that story because I am sure many, if not most of you, have had similar experiences, or maybe you're literally living through one of those experiences right now. Place where you feel alone, you just feel like things are going out of control, and you're wondering, hey, Jesus, hey, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping? And I want you to know, if you've ever felt that way, you're in great company. And not because I felt that way. You're in great company because the men that Jesus picked to help him change the world felt that way. And what I want us to do today is I want us to look at the story of them experiencing this moment of, hey, Jesus, where are you, dude? Do you even care? Because what God has taught me through this story, and what I hope God teaches all of us through this story today, is that in the midst of those moments, in the midst of those struggles, in the midst of those storms, there is a question that he wants us to ask. But it's not, where is he? The question he wants us to ask is so much more powerful and clarifying than that. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to the book of Mark. Mark is the second book in our New Testament. It was written by a guy named Mark, who we think was a follower of Jesus. But when Jesus was on earth, Mark was probably very, very, very young. He wasn't a disciple. We think he was actually like a cousin or like some way related to a guy named Simon Peter, who was one of Jesus' best friends. Because Simon Peter was in the crew, but Mark was just always around. We're pretty sure that Mark, when he was writing his biography of his life, he sat down with Simon Peter, and that's where he got a lot of his details, because he wasn't actually there. But he records a story for us near the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. You know, Jesus has called his disciples, and he's been teaching, and he's popular, and they've seen him perform miracles, and they're just riding high because they're with Jesus. They're on Jesus' team, and things are happening that they've never experienced before. They've never thought things would be this good. And then in Mark chapter 4, which is where we're going to be, Mark tells us at the end of the day, as they were kind of done doing some stuff, this happened. It says, as evening came, Jesus says to his disciples, hey, let's cross to the other side of the lake. See, Jesus' disciples, many of them were professional fishermen. He chose them, and so he had access to boats. That's why we're calling the series Boat Life, by the way. All the stories in this series take place on a boat. And so Jesus looks at his guys, that, you know, they have boats, and he's like, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake. And so they do. Mark tells us they took Jesus in the boat. They started out. They left the crowd behind, but other boats actually followed. This was the ancient version of the paparazzi. They just followed Jesus to try to figure out where he was going. And so these disciples, man, they've been hanging out with Jesus. They've seen all this great stuff. Jesus says, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they get in the boat and they take off. They don't even think anything about it because Jesus is in the boat. This is what Jesus said to do. And so they're super excited until, Mark tells us, verse 37, but soon a fierce storm came up. Out of nowhere, a storm appears. Now, you may wonder, if they were professional fishermen, how did they not see the storm coming? And the answer is, so they were on this thing, they were on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee on one side is really high mountains that go run right along the Sea of Galilee. And when the air travels over the mountains and hits the Sea of Galilee, I'm not Ed Piotrowski, so I can't explain it, but it's not good. And so storms could basically be lingering behind those mountains and you'd have no idea, and then boom, they were on you. But those normally happen during the day, which is why they normally fished at night. But here they are at night, following Jesus' instructions, doing exactly what he's asked them to do, and a storm comes up completely out of nowhere. They didn't cause it. They have no control over it. Just this life-altering event that they were not prepared for. And it was terrifying. Here's what Mark tells us. He says, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water, which means the waves were probably at least 6, 8, 10 feet high. That's how high the seas were, if any of you who actually are into boating. I mean, these were massive waves, and they were just crushing into these boats, and the boats were filling with water. And so these guys who were doing exactly what they were asked to do, exactly where they were supposed to be, this thing comes up that's completely beyond their control, and it terrifies them. But they're with Jesus, right? Until they look over, and here's what they discover. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. They're sitting there. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They're trying to bail water out of the boat. They look over. Jesus is asleep, probably with some drool coming out of his mouth. What do you think they did in that moment? What would you do in that moment? You're terrified. Danger is literally in your boat. You're about to die, you think. And you look over, and your leader, the Savior of the universe, the guy who's called you, the guy who told you to be in this exact spot in that moment, is asleep. Here's what they did. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Seriously, dude. Have you noticed what's happening here? Are you going to pay attention, Jesus? Because we're about to die. And it looks like you couldn't be any less interested. I'll be honest, guys. 4 weeks ago today, I've never related more to a sentence in my life. Seriously, Jesus, do you care? Man, I got all self-righteous about it. Dude, I'm in this town because you told me to come here. I planted the church. You told me to come. I'm leading the church. You told me to lead. And seriously, you can't help me at all here? You can't maybe let my kid not get COVID the same day that my wife is sick and then my dad goes to the ER? Can we pick two out of three? Do we have to have three? And then do we also have to have technical difficulties during the part where I'm trying to point people to you? Seriously, do you even care? You ever felt that way? So I know some of you, you're like, bro, your story's cute and all, but you should hear my story. You should hear what I've gone through. You should hear what I'm going through. And I want you to hear me. I know that there are people in this room going through storms that I can't even fathom. And I'm so thrilled that you're here. And I'm so thrilled that you're watching online. Because the way you feel makes perfect sense. The way you feel is the way the disciples felt. The men God didn't just choose, but used to change the world. They felt exactly like you feel. And the power of this story isn't how they felt. The power of the story is Jesus' response. Because Jesus' response points the way to our response in the storm. Here's what he says. First, he wakes up. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, said to the wave, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. He literally just wakes up and says, "Hey, stop." And the wind stops. Completely and totally. And then he looks at his disciples because he's realizing what happened. And he asks them two questions. He says, "Hey, why are you afraid?" He's like, "Do you still have no faith?" And here's what he really means. He's not being ugly. He's not being judgmental. He's processing in real time. He's like, "Wait, you guys are actually, you're really scared, aren't you? You're actually scared right now." And then he says, "Get it. You still don't really understand who I am. You still don't really understand who's in your boat." And again, to their credit, I understand why they didn't get it. Jesus is sleeping. They decided that he didn't care. Because anytime we experience storms in life, anytime we experience trauma, anytime we experience anything that is just totally beyond our control and we don't know what to do with it, there's a common reaction. And it's this: storms can cause us to doubt God. They just do. And the reason they cause us to doubt God, listen to me, is because in the midst of the storm, we doubt God because he doesn't perform like we want him to in that moment. We have a preferred outcome in the storm. And when God doesn't do that, we doubt him. And specifically, we doubt two things. We doubt his love, and we doubt his power. If he loved me, he'd do this. Or I guess he's really not powerful enough to stop and do exactly what I want him to do in the moment. That is exactly what was happening with the disciples. Well, clearly he doesn't love us because he'd get up. It was that fear. It was that panic. It's that human response to things aren't going like I want right now in this moment that causes them and causes us to question God and to doubt God. And the reason is me, you, all of us. What we want is we want calm instead of a storm. That's what we want. We want calm instead of a storm. We don't want storms. We don't want drama. We don't want troubles. We don't want heartache. We don't want difficult things. We want calm instead of the storm. But what Jesus was actually providing them and us is the truth, which is way better. Jesus provides calm in the storm. Because we'll never go through life without storms. Jesus just says, hey, I can be calm in the storm. See, they thought Jesus was sleeping because he didn't care. And that's just wrong. Jesus was sleeping because he was in control. Jesus was sleeping because he wasn't scared. Jesus was sleeping because he knew exactly what was going to happen. And had they simply approached him and asked him that question, he would have answered. But they didn't. They did what I do, and they did what we all do when bad things happen. We write the end of the story ourselves. Well, I know what's going to happen. Notice they said, don't you care that we're going to drown? They weren't drowning. The boat was filling with water. But they pre-decided, well, we're done. And he doesn't care. And the reason they decided that is because they're human and he's not, and their perspective on the situation was limited. My perspective on the situation is limited. Your perspective on the situation is limited. But they were incorrect. They didn't die. In fact, what they ended up learning was a lesson that changed their life. And a lesson that is changing my life. It's literally a lesson that as I opened this passage a few weeks ago and began praying about it, thinking about it, writing about it, and God took me back to the week before when I'd had that mini meltdown, and then I read this passage and began praying over what God wanted to say to me and to all of us through it. It was like it just clicked. Something that I'd missed. I grew up in church. I've heard this passage 7,000 times. But there was something I had missed the whole time, and it's something the disciples got right, by the way. And again, it comes back to that question. Because once the storm is calm, and once Jesus says, hey, don't you know who I am? See, the disciples ask themselves a version of that question once the wind's calm. They look at each other, and they say, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And see, it's that question, who is this man? Who is Jesus? That I think is the better question to ask in storms. Because you know what I ask? You know what you asked? You know what the disciples asked? Where is Jesus? Where is he? Why isn't he doing what I want in this moment? Where is he? And what they were actually saying is, I don't know what he's doing in this moment. And because I don't know, in my limited perspective, I'm going to judge it. And I'm going to say, he's not doing what I want, so he doesn't love me. And what Jesus has been teaching me, and hopefully teach of all of us, and when you step back, you understand this, I think. You understand that there's a God and you're not him, right? Like, there's a God, we're not God. The only person with the capacity to judge someone's performance has to have that person's perspective. I don't have God's perspective on a situation, so I can't judge God's performance in that situation. I'm not equipped to do that. That's above my pay grade. And that's really what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. He's saying, hey, you guys don't know what's going on over here. You just see me sleeping, and you just decided that I didn't care. And that's not really a question of performance. That's a question of character. And so disciples, Trey, all of us, when you're in the midst of a storm, when you're in the midst of struggle and you can't see me working, you don't know what I'm doing, don't ask where is Jesus, because You may not ever find that out because I'm doing things and I'm working in ways you'll never understand. But there is an anchoring question you can ask in that moment. It's not where is Jesus, it's who is Jesus. Is he some freewheeling, asleep at the wheel person who really doesn't care about me at all? Is that really who I believe he is in my soul? For me, certainly not. I certainly would not have dedicated my life to building a church in his name if I really thought he didn't care about me. I certainly would not spend my life encouraging other people to surrender their lives to him if I really thought he didn't care about you. Who is Jesus? He is the all-loving, all-powerful God of the universe who came to earth, sacrificed his life so I could have a relationship with his dad. And his goal every single day is to connect with me and lead me to a better life. And that knowledge, that truth, is never more vital than when we're in the middle of a storm and I don't know what he's doing. It's easy to trust Jesus when I see where we're going. The question is, when I don't see where we're going, do I believe who he is? Do I have faith in, hey, Jesus, you were my Lord yesterday and you took great care of me. And I believe you're going to be my Lord tomorrow and you're going to take great care of me tomorrow. So in this moment, when in my limited perspective I am questioning your performance, I'm not even going to ask where you are. I'm going to remind myself who you are. You're God. And you've always taken care of me. And you always will. And I'm convinced that's what the disciples learned in that moment. Because we're going to see next week, there's another storm in a boat. And guess what they don't do this time? They don't get scared. They don't question Jesus. They don't ask where he is because they trust who he is. And that's why even though storms can be painful and horrifying, there really is a benefit in them. And it's this, that storms teach us to value Jesus' presence more than his performance. They teach us to rest in who he is rather than evaluating what he's currently doing. Because we won't always know what he's doing. But we can always know who he is. So when we have those moments where he's not performing like we want, we can run back to, yeah, but I know who he is. And he loves me and he takes good care of me. So even though I'm confused right now, I'm going to trust that he has my back. And I'm going to go to him and say, hey, Jesus, I'm really confused right now. I thought you were going to do this. I thought you were going to do that. And he's going to remind us, I know you did. I didn't. But I love you. And I'm at work on your behalf. And you can trust me. And you can believe I am at work for you and for your good. And it all comes down to asking the right question. When we feel the need to say, where is Jesus? My prayer is that instead we'll remember to ask, who is Jesus? And we'll say, oh yeah, that's right. He's my Savior. And he loves me. And he provides for me. And he protects me. And his presence is enough. And here's a really cool part. If you choose to not only invest in Jesus, but invest in his people and surround yourself with people, Jesus can make his presence felt through others. I had the most amazing experience Friday, 2 days ago. One of my really good friends, he and his wife are dear to Danielle and I, and they moved to Texas a while back. I can't even remember. COVID has warped the brain for time. I have no idea. I believe it was PC, pre-COVID. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember pre-COVID? It was great. Anyway, they moved away, and he's an amazing man. He's always prayed for me, and I got this text Friday at 11 a.m. Hi, Trey. You've been on my mind a lot this week. I'm praying for supernatural peace over you. I'm not sure why you've been so heavy on my mind this week, but I want you to know you have prayer covering happening from here. I picked up the phone immediately. I said, dude, got your text. Do you not know what's happening? He's like, I have no idea what he's talking about. And I told him about my dad and how we're coming to the end and having to get things in order and financials and businesses and just really scrambling and how exhausted I was. And he's like, man, God just kept telling me to pray for you all week. And I have been. And I was like, buddy, and I felt it. I needed him to know. I felt that. Thank you. And guys, I mean, my situation didn't get better. It got better for my dad. He's at peace now. But God didn't just magically stop the storm. He sustains me through it. But I will not be sustained if I am constantly evaluating his performance. I will only be sustained if I am satisfied by his presence. Because boy, is he a good God. And I know you're thinking, man, I'd just rather not have storms. And I understand that. You know, Jesus came to help stop the storms. Because the storms are caused by sin. Sin broke everything. It caused illness. I mean, sin is behind all of this. Jesus gave his life to set us free from sin. And he invites us to follow him to hopefully navigate around many landmines of life. But these storms, these things that happen because of the evil in the world, we will not have a life free from those. But we can walk through them confidently because of who our Savior is. And I know you're like me. You're like, man, that's good and all. Still wish he'd just stop it. And we can even ask the question, why won't he stop it? Why won't he stop my storm? And I'm going to be as honest as I can be right now. I don't know. I don't. He's God. I'm not. I do not know why he does what he does. I never will. Maybe we get to heaven. Maybe he'll indulge some of my questions. I don't know. I probably have too many. But I don't need to know why he does what he does. I don't need to understand everything he does to trust who he is. Because he gave his son for me. And he's never lied to me. And he's always led me down the right path. And so my prayer for me today, my prayer for you, my prayer for all of us in storms, is that rather than wondering where Jesus is, rather than focusing on their performance, may we be blessed by his presence and assured that, hey, I have no control over this anyway. I don't know what's about to happen, but I trust that Jesus is with me, and I'm going to lean on him, and I'm going to lean on his people, and I'm going to lean on his church, and I am not letting go until we get through this storm. Going to trust who he is even when I don't understand what he does. Because that is the essence of faith. And man, if you say, I don't know Jesus well enough yet, man, we invite you to get to know him here. Take a step. Because he's amazing. He loved us so much he gave his life. And he was powerful enough that he could come back to life. That's a dude I want in my corner. That's a dude that's earned my trust when I don't fully understand what he's doing. And right now, I don't fully understand what he's doing. Full disclosure. But he's teaching me through this passage to trust who he is. And my prayer for you is that he can begin to move your hearts as well. To look for him in the moments, not look for what he's doing. Anchor your heart in who you know Jesus to be and trust that he's at work for your good. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we are just so, so thankful for your son and for what he's done in our lives. God, I thank you for your supernatural peace and comfort and empowerment even today. God, I pray that we will be a people that stop evaluating your performance and choose to embrace your presence. May we be blessed by who you are and trust that because of who you are, you're taking us somewhere we don't understand. May we rest in you in the journey and rejoice with you on the other side. We love you. We are so thankful for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.